Welcome to Unstuck, the podcast for solo business owners who want things to feel better. I'm Libby Langley, business coach, author, and your honest voice of reason when business starts to feel messy. Each week, I share real advice and simple strategies to help you untangle your thoughts, get clear on what matters, and move forward without burning out or starting from scratch. Here's this week's episode. What happens when you stop showing up daily on social media? What happens when you stop showing up daily on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook? Will your business fall apart? In this episode, I'm sharing what I've learned from stepping back from social media, how it's impacted my visibility, my mindset, and my income, and what might shift for you if you stopped trying to keep up with it all. It's an interesting topic for me, this, because social media has been an enormous part of my life, of my business, my income, everything for the last 16 years. I first started teaching social media in 2009. I ran my first, before I started my business, when I had a proper job in education. I was a commercial manager in a college, and I used to write and deliver some workshops as part of what I did because I'm a qualified tutor too. And social media came along and just really, really interested me. I was like, "Ooh, what? You can talk to anybody anywhere in the world about anything and for free?" And it was just kind of nuts. And so I ran workshops on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn back in the day, also on blogging. So, you know, the whole sort of digital marketing thing, email marketing too, right, from the early days. And around at the same time I was doing my MBA, or started doing my MBA, and I did my dissertation on social media marketing strategy and corporate communication. Woo! And so it's kind of been an enormous part of my world. And I first went to Social Media Marketing World in San Diego in 2013. So to now be old and tired and kind of make the decision to step away from that world has actually been quite hard. But I'll tell you my reasons for doing it, and then I'll tell you kind of what's happened. But I haven't posted consistently on social media in over a month, maybe 2 months actually, at the time of recording. And really, what's happened is not a lot, but also my business hasn't collapsed, right? My business hasn't collapsed. And in what has happened has been the positive impact it's had on me. So I feel, I would say, clearer, calmer, more connected, actually, than I have in a long time. And I think what I've done, I would say this was a big kind of strategic thing, but actually it was just like, you know, I'm fed up with this. And so I was sort of just like, I'm not going to post anymore. I'm just going to kind of see what happens if I don't. And it was nothing more, it was nothing more strategic than that. And obviously I'm really strategic in stuff that I do, but I wanted to use myself as a test case, really, to see if this other world that I've been hearing so much about, and so many people just don't really use social media the same anymore, just to see what happened. And not a case of, oh, I'm going to do this and like break my business. Far from it. But hold on a minute. I've been in business a really long time. I have my podcast. I have my existing email list, which, you know, grows slowly and steadily. And sometimes I do ads as well. So, you know, that's utilizing social media, but not being on social media, right? Not being active on social media. And I do speaking gigs, and I guest on other people's podcasts and all of that. So I'm still visible, and obviously YouTube too. I'm still visible, but this daily posting on social media and daily going in and spending time engaging with other people, whilst it's brought about lots of interesting conversations, balancing the time, or I guess the return on investment of that time, appalling, right? And I think that's one of the kind of red flags to do with social media, and something I suggest that you do actually is think about how much, or measure how much time you do spend on social media, and then look at the actual return on investment from it, right? And the thing about social media is that you go on it and, oh, 2 hours later, you're still on it. And it's not the reason that you weren't on there in the first place necessarily. So this kind of scroll creep is a very real and very, you know, something that you need to kind of watch out for. But it's what takes the time. So if you don't use social media as much, if you're not going on there as much, you're taking away that temptation from yourself. And it's all to do with self-control. It's all to do with boundaries. It's all to do with mindset. But it's all also to do with bloody being a human, right? And I mean, sometimes I set myself time aside to just scroll some of the really funny videos or cat reels or whatever. But that's me, like, I don't know, watching telly. It's the same kind of equivalent time for me. It's almost the brain numbing that my brain needs from time to time, because being neurodivergent, being autistic, ADHD, I have a really, really busy and active brain. And sometimes that conscious time of, do you know what, I'm just going to look at this stuff, is okay. It's when you go onto social media to do something else and you find yourself 2 hours later having scrolled everything and gone down some awful rabbit holes and, you know, signed up for 6 masterclasses that you don't need because you saw all the ads that they were telling you you were useless. And this is the thing that's going to fix you. You know, that's not healthy, right? So what, you know, really in this episode is about is kind of lifting the lid, I think, on what it's really been like to step away from social media. I certainly didn't do any of the dramatic exit flouncing. I'm so done with social media and this is, you know, none of that, right? No, I hate Instagram, I hate LinkedIn kind of stuff. I mean, if you've been a listener here for a while, you know that I hate TikTok. I just don't need, my brain needs more than just constant 5-second videos. You know, it's way too shouty, it's way too noisy. And I've always hated it. And so I don't use that. That's not something that I've taken out. What this is kind of honest, reflective look at what happened and why I stopped showing up every day. One of the things that I did that I think was actually the best thing that I've done, right? And it's so small that you can do it immediately, right? Is that I've always had the apps that I use the most in folders on like page one on my phone. So, you know, on your phone, you have the front screen and then you scroll to the next screen and on where all your apps are kept. I don't know if they're called screens or whatever they are, but you know what I mean. And so all my social media channels were always on that first one. So whenever I went into my phone, like, oh, there's my banking apps, there's the BBC News thing, there's all my social media stuff, there's my emails, there's Safari, that, you know, those things that I use all the time, right? And so I would see immediately the red dots of doom, the red dots that you have to go in and look at the red dots, or, you know, you work your way around the screen of all the things that you check. And then you just keep going back to social media because maybe there's something else showing up that's interesting. Maybe there's, you know, and it becomes this really kind of unhealthy cycle. So I was never going to take them off my phone. Let's be clear here. I'm not that hardcore radical about this. But what I have, because I love social media, really important to say that too. I love social media. I've made some fantastic friends through social media, and without social media at all, personally and professionally, I would be in a worse place, right? I should have said that right at the start. I think it's really, really, I think it's incredible. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a great way to connect with people, but it's a noisy space now, which it never was, right? Never was. It was just a great place to be. And so I moved the apps onto screen two. So when I open my phone, I still see the BBC News app. I still see my banking apps, I still see the weather, I still see my step tracker, I still see Safari and my emails and, you know, all that stuff, right? I still see all of that. But if I want to know if I've got any red dots of doom, any notifications, I have to scroll to page two of my phone. And that alone has made a phenomenal difference. I can't tell you the difference that it's made. And I think part of it is the temptation has kind of disappeared to do the scrolling. And I have to go in and like consciously look at stuff now. And so if I pick up my phone to use the calculator, for example, I'm not distracted by any social media notifications or indeed their very existence, right? Because they're those little dots are, you know, those little squares, they're addictive little suckers. So that's been really, really massive, okay? And so I've spent a lot less time on social media simply by doing that. I don't very often use it on my computer at all. So it's always been a phone-based thing for me. And so that's been huge. And my decision to just not really post anything has been... That was quite a radical thing for me to do. I felt it was sort of an untethering and wildly brave thing, bold thing to do. And I know that that sounds ridiculous, but for someone who's been posting almost daily for more than a decade, you know, well over a decade, social media's been everything, right? I've taught thousands of people how to integrate it with their business strategy and all this stuff over the years. And I just thought, what's going to happen? What would happen if I didn't post? And it's made me, the short answer is not much, disappointingly. Nothing's really changed. But it's made me far more strategic and focused and conscious on the things that I absolutely categorically can say unequivocally have bring me clients, right? And make a difference in my business and keep my visibility up and also raise my profile. And one of those is this podcast. There's so many people that listen to this podcast, and it's always funny that it's very rare that I go to anything from like a small local networking event to a kind of big something or speak on stage where someone doesn't say, oh, I listened to your episode on so-and-so, 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 and it was really helpful. And that's fantastic. And I love that. So I know that there is that data there, all right, it's, kind of, what's the word? Empirical? Is that where it's spoken to you rather than actually data-driven? Anyway, whatever. It's anecdotal. It's anecdotal evidence, but if people are saying to me, I've listened to your episode, they know who I am. They might not choose to work with me, right? But they'll speak to someone who'll speak to someone who'll speak to someone and all of this. So that focusing on this podcast and also making a concerted effort for the YouTube version, which is something I've stopped and started over the years because I prefer doing the audio only. However, hello to anybody watching on YouTube, I know the importance of it. And I also am a real advocate of evergreen content. So content that perhaps takes you a bit more effort to create, like a podcast or a YouTube video, than, you know, bloody B-roll with some words over it, like social media is full of. It hangs around for longer. It's of more weight and more importance. And people can really get to know you. You can really help people. You know, my clients listen to my podcast and will say, oh, this week I'm implementing what you talked about in last week's episode. And it's just absolutely fantastic that it not only supports people in its own right, in its own existence, but it also supports people, supports paying clients, and it also introduces me to a new audience, you know, and I think it ticks so many boxes. So I'm never going to stop doing this. I mean, I might one day, right? One day I'm going to just retire, but I'm not going to stop doing this. And so will this suffer, I guess? Will this suffer if I stop doing the social media? And so my balance with it is I always do a post. I do one a week and I do a post telling people there's a new episode out there, right? And my email marketing supports all of this too. So I haven't left social media. And that's, I'm really kind of careful to say this isn't, I'm leaving social media. You never need social media in your life. This is about stepping back from and using it light touch, okay? And in terms of the going in and engaging with people, I do a bit, you know, every morning. I have my little routine every morning that I check my emails, then I do check my social medias. And then I check the weather, and then I check my banking apps, and then I check the BBC News, and then I do Wordle, and then I get up. That's my routine every morning. So I do check them every morning because sometimes there's messages, sometimes there's things to respond to, right? But it's like 10 minutes as opposed to all day draining hours. And I do then sometimes kind of comment or respond to a few things on there. But it's absolutely not as much as it was. And I'm not going in and spending... Right, I'm going to spend half an hour every day engaging and connecting with people, which I used to do, because the return on investment of my time of doing that, it doesn't bring as much. That's a lot of, you know, spend half an hour a day engaging with stuff. That's like 2.5 hours a week. Well, it is 2.5 hours a week. And that then becomes kind of an entire day, an entire working day, if not two working days, depending on how long or short your days are, right? It's probably two full working days a month. And if you're not getting whatever your equivalent hourly rate is back from that, it's not worth it. And yes, you could be more strategic about the commenting and all of that, but social media is social. So a lot of it is just, you know, enjoying people's company. And that's still where work and opportunities come from, because it's networking in its pure and simple terms, right? So if you're not generating the equivalent of, I don't know, £50 an hour, £100 an hour, £25 an hour, whatever your, £1,000 an hour, whatever your equivalent hourly rate is, right? Because I don't suggest you charge by the hour, but you know, if you work it backwards and you come up with a kind of broad brush hourly rate, then for your own internal uses, if that doesn't generate that, it's a waste of time. It's largely a waste of time. And I think that's a kind of harsh lesson that we all need to go through, you know, because there will be things that do absolutely generate that. This podcast being one of them, speaking on stage being another. And they don't happen as often, but they have a lot more impact for me. And so focus on the stuff that works, right? And email marketing is one of the best things for me, for sure, and always has been for years and years and years. So I put a lot of time and energy into my email marketing. Sometimes it's only once a week. Sometimes it's 4 or 5 times a week. It depends what I've got to say. It depends what's going on. It depends if I'm, you know, kind of doing a mini launch or something like that. But honestly, that's the best thing. And also, don't forget, social media is a fickle beast, because you can get your accounts closed down for no real reason overnight. You can lose everything, but your email or a podcast or something like that, you own, right? You have the data, you have the addresses, you have the way of communicating with people. So it's a much safer, longer term investment of time and energy and money as well. You have to, you know, those all things cost money, right? But the reason I really wanted to share all this with you today is because, you know, I promote a quieter, healthier, more, less overwhelming for sure, more kind of mindful business. And this is one thing that can be tweaked and changed. And you need to do absolutely what is right for you, right? But I share this open and honestly about my own experience because it's such a 180 for me. You know, it was everything. Social media was everything for me. But I've developed a love-hate relationship with it over the last 5 years. And so I've just decided to do something else about it and be in control. And you can always go back. You know, there's some really big names who have completely stepped away from social media and then decided to go back because they can. It's your prerogative. And that's why this big kind of, you know, a big announcement isn't necessary. But sharing your own experience or just not is fine. Funny, I got a WhatsApp message from a friend and on-off client just saying, are you all right? You've been very quiet on the socials lately. And it was really sweet because, yeah, I'm fine. And kind of told her what was going on. And it's really prompted me to make this episode for you. And also I've been talking about this with my clients inside my Confidence to Grow coaching space as well, because this is part of it, right? Everything that all my clients is always trying to do is to be more profitable, yes, to be more efficient and effective, yes, but to be happier. And happiness, it often comes from reducing your output, as in the things that you are doing, and being more efficient and effective with what you are doing. So it's this conscious decision. And you get to decide any of this, right? There is absolutely no right or wrong here. But it is sometimes worth experimenting. And it is sometimes worth just doing what works for you and, you know, sod the convention, right? And I think if you are neurodivergent, which, you know, I'm autistic ADHD, it's like social media is a funny thing because there is this kind of addiction side to it, you know, the dopamine from the scroll and, oh, I'll just watch one more video. And it is the videos there. Although I spend quite a lot of time on Threads, actually. I really, really like Threads. But that the conversations and the things that I read there are much more of interest to me away from business, I guess. So there's a lot of kind of political stuff and, you know, those kind of things, which I find really, really interesting. But that doesn't, I mean, blimey, you know, I'm pretty woke, right? So it's no surprise which side of the political spectrum I sit on. But they're not conversations that I have necessarily really in my day-to-day business, nor through my work social media, you know? They're stuff that I do over there. And so I'd really like you to kind of explore life away from the algorithm. You know, like we used to, right? I don't know how long you've been in business, but, you know, 14 years for me, coming up for 14 years. And yes, I started off teaching social media, but it was not like it is now. It just wasn't. I don't remember if I had it on my phone. I did have an iPhone then, but I don't know if I had these things on my phone. Maybe just, but it wasn't the same, right? You used to have to do like text updates on Facebook and weird stuff like that. It just wasn't as easy. And it wasn't as noisy. And you got to engage with your friends and the people that you wanted to much more easily. Do you know, I read something the other day that in order to see all your friends' posts on Facebook, you'd actually have to scroll through 10,000 posts in order to see all your friends' content. That's how noisy and overwhelming and ad-filled it is. And, you know, I do ads periodically, so I guess I'm part of that noise in some ways. But I like to think they're interesting and they're relatively unobtrusive. And I would never tell you that you're broken. And I'm the only one who can fix you with my $27 download. Never going to do that to you. But it's, you know, it's worth kind of just thinking about. And think about how you want to show up. Right. Think about the way that you want to grow and serve your audience. And it says that on a post-it note just above my desk. What can I do today to grow and serve my audience? And that can be anything you like. Yes, you need to grow your audience, right? But it doesn't have to be by hundreds every week, because if you only help, you only work with a small amount of people at once, you don't need thousands or even hundreds, right, of new people. You need to just have a slow and steady kind of growth. And serving your audience is delivering the paid stuff, right? You know, I'm very active within my Confidence to Grow WhatsApp group that supports the live calls. Obviously, I turn up for the live calls too. But in the WhatsApp group, you know, I serve my audience in there. I serve my clients. But your audience is wider than that. Your audience is people who just think you're brill, right? And are never going to buy from you. Also, are trying to discover you and, you know, interview you, vet you before they decide to make any kind of contact. Because that first contact takes a lot of courage, right? So if you're thinking about contacting me, do contact me. I'm nice. We'll just have a chat. It's fine. There's never any pressure. And this is kind of what it's about, is it's like, what is my most efficient and effective way of ticking those boxes, you know, not as a box tick exercise, tick box exercise, but as a, you know, these are the things that really matter. And also looking at and analysing the data, what does work. And I would love for you to do the exercise of how long do I spend on social media and how much does it actually generate for me? And I appreciate, you know, might be part of the mix. You can't say for definite unless you have a form that where someone ticks that. And even so, it could be the 20th time or place they've seen you. But you'll know, you'll get to know. And if you analyze the amount of time you're spending creating content, you know, fiddling about in Canva, going in and engaging and stuff, it may not be something that lights you up, fills your heart with joy, and it may not be the best return on investment. It's certainly unlikely to be the long game, OK? Apo, and it requires, you know, this constant kind of tending, which is really bloody hard work. So, no dramatic exits, just a quieter, less frantic way of doing things. And my experience so far, a month or two in at the time of recording, is that it's been an overwhelmingly positive experience. But I do not hate social media. I love it. I love the fact that I'm still in touch with some people that I went to primary school with, and I enjoy chatting to them sometimes. You know, that side of things is so, so important. But it doesn't mean that it now is the number one thing in my business. It means that my podcast and my email list are. So welcome. And if you want to get my emails, if you want to be on my email list and hear from me that way as well, best thing to do is go to libbylangley.com/stuck, and you will get a really helpful kind of guide on how what to do if you're feeling really overwhelmed and feeling stuck. And you'll also then get all my emails. So that would be super. It would be lovely to see you there too. So thank you for joining me very much today, and I'll see you next time. Bye. Thanks for listening to Unstuck. Make sure you follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love it if you left a review. It really helps more solo business owners find the podcast and reminds them they're not alone. Want to chat about this episode or suggest a future topic? You'll find me on Instagram @LibbyLangley. See you next week.